It's early 1945, and U.S. troops, in a push toward the Japanese mainland, had been advancing on islands, and they had come upon a lot of resistance as they did that. Then they came upon a little island, Shimabuku, and they were met, and not met with resistance, but met and welcomed by two old men who introduced themselves and who welcomed the U.S. troops as their brothers in Christ. Clarence W. Hall was a war correspondent traveling with this particular detachment of troops, and he wrote about the whole thing. Listen to what he wrote. "We'd seen other Okinawan villages uniformly down at the heels and despairing. By contrast, this one shone like a diamond in a dung heap. Everywhere we were greeted by smiles and dignified bows. Proudly, the old men showed us their spotless homes, their terraced fields, fertile and neat, their storehouses and granaries, and their prized sugar mill." Hall did some digging, and they found an interesting story behind all of this. Some 30 years before, an American missionary on his way to the Japanese mainland had stopped on this little island in this little village just long enough to share the gospel with and to bring two men to Christ and to leave with them a copy of a Japanese Bible and a hymn book. Well, those two new believers took their faith real seriously, and they shared their faith, and they discipled other people in the village, and soon the village was using the Bible itself as the basis for their community, and that's what made them different from all the others. There were no divorces, there was no drunkenness, there were no jails in Shimabuku. Hall returned to that village a little bit later and attended a worship service there. He wrote about it. He said, "The service over, we waited as the crowd moved out, and my driver whispered hoarsely, 'So this is what comes out of only a Bible and a couple of old guys who wanted to live like Jesus.' And then with a glance at a shell hole, he murmured, 'Maybe we're using the wrong kind of weapons.'" That story really stuck with me, got my attention, because today I want to talk about the power of the one offensive weapon that is in the Christian armor, the Word of God. It's the one part of our armor that is meant to attack, the one thing that's offensive. Remember, as we start talking about this, I always remember Jesus in the desert. Remember Jesus faced by Satan being tempted? And he is there getting all of these different things tossed at him by Satan. One of the Gospels tells us it went on actually for 40 days. And there is Jesus. He's hungry. Well, it seems like Jesus could feed himself. These very same hands would be handling just a little bit of food that would feed multitudes by miracle. Surely Jesus could feed himself. Or Satan is there tempting him. It seems like Jesus could have put Satan in his place. It wouldn't be long before the demons would be begging Jesus not to torture them. And Jesus would remind his disciples that at any moment he could call upon the Father, who would send 12 legions of angels to come and fight for him. But what does Jesus use? How does Jesus deal with his face-to-face combat with Satan early in his ministry? Remember? It's the Word. It stands written, he said three times. It's written. And he turns to the writings of the Old Testament, inspired by God to be written hundreds of years before, and he uses those as the weapon that he needs to deal with Satan's lies. You think we'd catch on? You think we'd get it? I have an agenda this morning. No secret. I want for everybody who is here to have a renewed determination to know and to appreciate God's Word and to have a definite plan to make it a regular part of your days in the new year. That's what those commitment cards are about, by the way, that are in the bulletin. They look like this. And if you don't have one, well, you're in luck. I have a stack of them right here. Who didn't get one? All right. Kate, would you help me out, please? and get one for yourself. One for yours too, okay? All right. Okay. We're going to turn to those in a little bit later and use those later on today, but that's what those commitment cards are about as well. I want to show you that God's Word deserves to be read regularly by every one of us. That's the big thought of what I want to get across today. And I guess I am simple enough to think that when we really believe something is important, we give it a place in our lives to make sure that it gets done. And the thing that I want to use to drive that point home is dental hygiene. I'm serious. Dental hygiene. Hermie doesn't want to be an elf. Hermie wants to be a dentist. My dad used to say, "Be true to your teeth and they'll never be false to you." Now, there is a lot of truth in that besides being cute, but the point of it is pretty clear. We should take care of our teeth, shouldn't we? We should brush our teeth. In fact, I'm going to bet that most everybody here brushes their teeth every day. How many of you brush your teeth every day? All right. Look at that. You all do that. That's what I guessed. Most everybody here. Why do you do that? Well, your parents taught you to do that very early on, most likely. And there were probably even some times that you didn't want to do it, and they made you do it. The nerve of parents forcing their children to do something that's good for them. And so at some point in your growing up years, you adopted, hopefully, that practice of brushing your teeth probably twice a day. And if you're saying, "No, I just never brush mine," then please turn to the person next to you for some breath mints, and we'll go on. But most everybody who's got their original teeth brushes every day. We accept that that's an important thing to do, right? All right. You know what? Most dentists also tell us that you should visit the dentist at least once or twice a year. Yeah, there's not as much enthusiasm about that one. Because now it's getting expensive for some people. And now it's starting to be a little less comfortable for some people. And so that rule kind of gets set aside a little bit. That part of dental health gets put on a lower plane than the others. After all, I know a guy who only goes to the dentist like every 5 or 10 years, and he's doing great, right? Okay. Here's another one. I was at the dentist's office, and I saw a poster on the wall that said, "You don't have to floss all of your teeth, only the ones you want to keep." Well, that was kind of funny and kind of cute, but there was some truth in it too. And, you know, flossing is another one of those things, right? I mean, we have a lot fewer enthusiastic flossers in the crowd, I'll bet you, than people who brush every day. And honestly, the American Dental Association did not put me up to any of this. I'm just making a point. But I'm sitting in the dentist chair, and the dental hygienist is telling me about the importance of brushing and flossing. You know, I'm a regular brusher, sure, not a problem. I floss, yeah, kind of. And I'm, you know, hearing about how flossing is important, and then how I also have lost gums and bone is gone, and how that's not going to ever come back. And the only way to stop it from happening is if I would make sure to do certain things very carefully, very regularly. So guess who started flossing every day? Not because it's convenient, and I'm not bragging, you should do it too. Not because it's convenient, not because it's easy, especially on nights when I don't feel, you know, I just want to go to bed. And I'm adding flossing my teeth to all of that. Because I got convinced that if I was going to keep my teeth, that's something I need to do. Well, I floss every day. I've been doing that for years now. And all it took was convincing me that it matters. A lot of people are taking the blank slate that we call 2017, and they are writing in some changes that they would like to make. Well, I want to ask, what about the place that God's Word is going to have in your life this year? See, we all probably would agree, wouldn't we? Some appreciation for the Bible is necessary if you're going to follow Jesus. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah, I've got to appreciate the Bible. That's important. We would say that, right? But kind of like flossing, how many of us would say, and spending time in that Bible every day as a regular part of my life is also equally important? Not as many. For some reason, that rule of spiritual health kind of gets set aside a little bit, And unless you're convinced that it really matters, kind of like flossing, it's not going to happen. So I want to go there. I want to give you some reasons that making God's Word a regular part of your life matters. I want to ask that question, why does it matter? I'm glad that you asked. Let's answer that. First of all, it matters because faith comes by hearing. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Jesus talked about how much can be accomplished by just a little bit of faith in our lives. And most of us would agree we want to increase our faith. Amen? Wouldn't you like to increase your faith in 2017? This is not a trap. Wouldn't you like to increase your faith in 2017? Faith is important. It's like a muscle. Faith grows when it gets exercised and stretched. And just like a muscle, faith will grow only if it is fed what it needs in order to be healthy. Now, to help me out, I've asked several people to share this morning their favorite Bible verse, their favorite verse of Scripture, and why it's their favorite. And I want to ask them if they'd start working their way forward just down here at the front, please. This is the time, guys and ladies, to do that. And what they're going to do, I have not listened to them ahead of time. I have not previewed what they're going to say, but I have asked them, just form a line, guys. I have asked them just to share what their favorite scripture is and why it's their favorite and to keep it brief. So please listen to your church family talk about their favorite verses.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. It's my favorite verse because of adversities that I've come into throughout my life. Christ works in so many different ways and to strengthen us, and he really works through my family here at Central Christian Church, through inviting me to celebrations, including me in their family luncheons and dinners.
My favorite verse is Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And I would say that's my favorite because it helps me not to worry about the future.
One of my favorite verses, I actually have written on a beat-up old note card on my desk at work, where life can get a little bit stressful. It's Isaiah 43:1. It says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And for me, I need simple, and to me that is simple. I love the simplicity of it, and I need to be reminded of that daily.
My favorite verse is also Proverbs 31:25. She's clothed with strength and dignity and laughs without fear of the future. That's my favorite verse because when this verse was introduced to me, I was going through some tough times, and it helped me to know that God was with me and that I can be strong and that I never have to be afraid. I can just enjoy life.
My favorite verse is Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And that came to me when Noah had his second heart surgery, and we were going through a very hard time. I was a new Christian back then, and I just happened to find that, and it really gave me encouragement to get through a very hard, tough time.
For the past several years, my favorite verse was Joshua 24:15. This is where Joshua tells the children of Israel that as for him and his house, they will serve the Lord. More recently, another verse has kind of taken over as my favorite. A couple falls ago, Lisa and I took a vacation down to the mountains in North Carolina. We had rented a cabin with my cousin and his wife, and we were literally on top of the mountain with view on every side. And I had decided that year to read through the Bible again, and usually when I do that, I start in Genesis and work my way through Revelations. I sprinkle in Psalms and Proverbs a chapter or two at random through the year. So I opened my Bible that morning to where I'd left off in Psalms. The last time I'd read through Psalms was Psalms 121, 1 and 2. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Here I am sitting on top of this mountain in the Smokies of North Carolina watching God's creation in action, the sun rising over the mountains. And these verses that were written probably 3,000 or years ago were speaking to me. God speaks to us today through his word. They're just as reassuring to us today as they were to the people back then that were writing them. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And like the second song we sung this morning, the God of angel armies. Okay, no matter what's going on in our lives day to day, we have the maker of heaven and earth and the God of angel armies on our side.
I want to say thanks to everybody who shared with us. I know getting up in front of people for some is just like the last thing in the world you want to do, so thanks for doing that today. And I know that there are more favorite verses, and I know that there are more reasons to give that they are favorites. The point here is to show how hearing those words of Scripture has become a vital part of the faith of your church family members who are here with you today. Faith comes by hearing. That's one reason this is important. Here's another. It's essential if we're going to live as God wants. Funny thing about instructions, you have to know them to do them, don't you? Every Christmas at our house, after the presents are open, there's a ceremony that happens somewhere after the glitter and dust settles. And that is, go through all that paper and boxes and make sure that what's getting thrown out is supposed to be thrown out so that the gift certificates don't get lost and that the owner's manual and instruction books don't get lost. You're going to need those. God rejected Saul, the first king of Israel. He rejected him as king. It wasn't because Saul had been fiscally irresponsible or that he had bad foreign policy. It wasn't because he had been timid or cowardly or was stingy or mean to the poor. Saul disobeyed an explicit command from God, and that's why God rejected him as king. Rather than wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice, Saul went ahead and did it himself. So here's what Samuel told him. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you as king. Saul was rejected as king. Why? Because he disobeyed and rejected the word of God. You young men here today, and you not so young men here today, have you noticed that it's tough to keep yourself pure in a world that is shoving junk in your face 24 hours a day? Have you noticed that? How in this world can a young man keep himself pure? Well, you're not the first one to ask that question. Psalm 119, which is all about God's word, says the very same thing, and then answers it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, there is something about making God's word a part of who we are that helps us to live the way that God wants us to live. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And that's talking about vision, as in a vision from God, as in instructions from God. Sure enough, when that's missing or when that's thrown away, yes, people run amok. Yes, people will die without hearing God's word. Amos warned Israel that a day was coming that their rejection of God's word would turn around to bite them. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. I don't have enough time here to dwell on this point as much as I'd like to. It just needs to be said that if you are interested in living as God wants, then you're necessarily interested in weaving His Word into the very fabric of your life. Are you interested in living as God wants? Then this is going to be a part of it. Paul said to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Now, how's that going, Central Christian Church? How well are we handling that word of truth? How well have you got it in hand? Well, to help answer that this morning, you probably noticed there's a quiz in the bulletin. Would you pull that up now? It's time for a pop quiz. That's right. It's just the 1st of January. You were on Christmas break, guys, and you thought you'd escape this. Ha! I'm going to give you 1 minute, and all I want you to do is run down that list. There are two columns there on the bulletin, and I want you to run down and check off the ones that come directly from Scripture. All right? You've got 1 minute. Let's pull up the countdown timer. We'll give you 1 minute. Go ahead, take your pencil or pen, check off the ones that are straight from Scripture. And I've even got some interesting interlude music while you do it. Get twice as long. Okay, pencils down. Or pens down, or if you didn't have one, get that list in front of you. And just to make this really easy for you, here's the answers, all right? In the first column, the only one that comes from the Bible is the very last one. In the second column, the only ones that are from the Bible are the last four. All the rest of those are not directly from Scripture. And I said it wrong in first hour. So if you see somebody from first hour, get them straightened out, would you? It's the first one, it's the first column, it's the last one, and in the second column, it's the last four. All the rest are not from Scripture. How'd you do? Isn't it interesting how the world infiltrates our thinking, and it gets tough to keep track of what's real and what's solid? Anyway, I hope you're convinced more than ever this isn't just a thing for some people, but not for you. I hope at this point you at least have something to think about. And then I want to go now beyond just something to think about and why it matters to a more important question, and that is, what can I do? What can I do about getting God's Word into the fabric of my life? Well, the first thing you can do is care. We could be convinced of this in our heads. We could be logically right about this, but it'll get nowhere unless it somehow moves you. And so one thing that you can do is care. Care about the fact that God has communicated to you. Have you ever thought about how amazing that is? Think about that for a second. God, the creator of the universe, has communicated to you. If you went to your postbox this morning, your mailbox, and you found in there a letter that you hadn't picked up yesterday, and it says it's from the White House, and it's addressed to you, and you open it up, and it's a letter signed by the President of the United States and the Vice President. Would you read it, at least? God himself has communicated to us something he wanted us to know. He has communicated to you in written language, and his signature is all over it. That's a big deal, isn't it? Care about that. care about the sacrifices that were made over the years to get that word to you today. You realize that throughout history there have been people who, rather than give up their copies of the Bible to be destroyed or lost, would give their lives. There were people who were so convinced that they needed to get the Bible into the language that other people can read it, that they died before they would quit trying to get it to them, so that you and I today could read God's Word in our own language. They thought it was worth it, so that you would be able to read it. Do you care about that? Care about the people who would die to have God's Word the way that you and I have it today. I want you to see a video here. It's actually a few videos that attack together about people who care about God's Word. And they live in places where they have either not been able to get the Bible, or it has been kept from them, or it just hasn't been in their own language. There are a couple of clips from places in China, one from Paraguay, and one from Indonesia. Watch this video, if you would, of people caring about the idea that they could have God's Word. Suppose that we could possibly fit reading the Bible into 2017. Do you suppose we could do that? Second thing, besides caring, is to make a plan. How many of you have a plan to brush your teeth every morning this year? Well, I hope the rest of you make one. I think we all have a plan to do that because we're convinced that it matters. There are dozens of Bible reading plans that'll take you through the Bible in a year. There are dozens of free resources that are available now for you to listen through the Bible. And this morning when you have opportunity, you're going to get a card, a reminder card on the back of it. It lists several of those online resources that are free, ways that you can work through the Bible this year and get it into your life. I want to encourage you to get into a Bible study through opportunities that are created here at the church. Ladies, there are at least three ladies' Bible studies, on two on Mondays, one on Thursdays. There's a men's accountability group. There's Sunday school. There are small groups. All of these are different ways to help get God's Word into your life. Youth, kids, student community, and Energize on Sunday afternoons, and other opportunities. If you don't have a plan, it won't happen. But if you have a plan, it's a better chance it will. Make a plan. Here's another thing you can do, and that is cut out junk. Don't tell me, please, that you don't have enough time, because all of us are living in the same length of day, aren't we? Is your day shorter than mine, or mine shorter than yours? No, they all have the same number of hours, and they're all too short, aren't they? We would all agree to that, probably. I want to guess, though, that everyone here this morning, sometimes, on a regular basis probably, squanders that precious commodity that we refer to as my time. Look deep into your use of time and be honest. You ever waste it? Ever? On Facebook? Snapchat? Facebook? The internet in general? Facebook? TV, movies, books that don't matter. How much of that? How much time? And what would happen if you were to recapture 15 to 20 minutes of that time out of each day? What would happen is you will have gained enough time to read through the entire Bible this year. Here's something else we could do, and that is memorize it. Maybe you've read the Bible through several times, and this year you're thinking, well, I want to do something a little bit different to get God's Word into my heart. I want to suggest to you that you should memorize certain passages of Scripture. And for many, making a plan to do that is a great way to hide it in your heart. Maybe you could be helped by Illustrated Journey, which is our Bible journaling group that meets here at Central and is a way of helping commit God's Word into your life. Get creative. Set a goal to memorize parts of God's Word this year. Here's the last one, and it's probably the most important, and that is to put it into practice. Because there is a danger with any Bible study that we would make that just an end in itself. That we would take a Bible reading schedule and just check it off every day so it's done on the checklist. And if that's all you're doing, then you're missing the point. Because it doesn't do you or anyone else any good to read it and understand it, but then do nothing about it. Sometimes I fear in the church we spend too much time talking and not enough time doing. Besides, the best way to fully understand God's Word, the best way to really understand what it means, is put it into practice. You want to understand what it means to forgive? You go find somebody who has wronged you and forgive them. You want to understand what it means to love your enemy? Find someone who is your enemy and do something kind for them in spite of the fact that they're your enemy. You want to understand what Jesus meant when he said that he didn't come to be served, but to serve? Find some lowly task that needs to be done and do it. You want to understand what it means to lay up treasure in heaven? Invest some money in a mission work. You'll also learn what Jesus meant then when he said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Put it into practice. Today, to respond to this, there is this card in your bulletin or in your hands. Everybody, I think, should have one by now. And these are for you to fill out. And later on here, after the Lord's Supper today, we're going to have an opportunity for you to come forward and to place them here as a sign of your commitment this year. we've asked for you to put your name and information on here because we want to contact you to encourage you, not to berate you, but to say, hey, remember that commitment that you made? We hope that you're doing great with that. Now, if you're looking down here on the table, there's already a stack of these. That's because during first hour, a whole bunch of people came forward, not to pressure you or anything, but a lot of people came forward to place these on the table. And also, when you come forward, we'll give you this reminder card, same list. You can check on it, the thing that you have committed to for getting God's Word into your life this year. You'll have a chance to do that in just a little bit. I want to encourage you to do it. I want to encourage you to do it for all the things, all the reasons that we've talked about this morning. It matters. And you've nodded your head that it matters. You should floss, but you should also put God's Word into your heart this year, because God's Word deserves to be read regularly by every one of us. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God's Word deserves to be read regularly by every one of us? All right. Let's put some feet to that a little bit later here. You know, one of the other responses that we can make today is right around the Lord's table, because here at the Lord's table is another place where we put into action what we say we believe. This isn't just some random tradition that somebody came up with years ago, and so we do it in the church today because somebody did it and we don't even remember why. This isn't some innovative idea that someone found on the internet, and so that's what we do. We read in Acts, the fourth chapter, that very early on, the church devoted itself to a few things. One of those was gathering around the Lord's table. We read a little bit later in the book of Acts how that was a regular part of what the church did when they came together. They celebrated the Lord's Supper. And after that, we read that they kept doing that. Later on, we read how Paul is instructing the church in Corinth about how they do the Lord's Supper and how they're supposed to do that. In other words, here today, what we're about to celebrate together, we do because we read it in the book. We do because God's Word taught us about this. And that's how we know it's part of what He wants us to do. And the importance of having God's Word and understanding God's Word is made all the more clear to us once again. We know from that Word that Jesus gave Himself in our place as a perfect sacrifice, and that He invites us to remember Him in this way. And so, we want to repeat to you that invitation from Jesus. If you love Him and honor Him, if you want to remember Him in this way, this is very much a thing for people who love Jesus. And so today, we're inviting you, after the prayer time, just to go to one of the tables here. We will have some time first to sit in quietness and then have an opportunity to get up and go to these tables, share the Lord's Supper together, share it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray.